coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
That was funny. My cough button was in the wrong position. Welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report for today. It's a Independence Day weekend. Seriously, Independence Day. Will this be, and this is an honest question, will this be our last Independence Day? I ask you. We're already seeing cracks in our republic where we have, for example, edicts that are unconstitutional, democratic California Governor Newsom, Gavin Newsom, bans singing in churches. And understand the underlayment of this is this response to the plandemic, all right? That's just one of many headlines we could list in, or we could put in a list format. Moving away from that just briefly, what I'm looking at here, there's something about the arrest and, shelf life of Ghislaine Maxwell. The rumor has it that she could obviously reveal bigger names involved in this network of pedophilia. Remember, the network of pedophilia that the Rolling Stone magazine said really didn't exist. Well, at least not in the form and format of what? Of Pizzagate, right? And I state, it does. It does exist in that form and format in that fashion, but that's a topic for another day. And then, of course, we're seeing the management looking back, pulling back the bigger lens of things, or lens to look at the bigger picture here. We're seeing this mosaic of things kind of, here's what I see. I'm looking at a chessboard. Not the 3D chess that is discussed in circles. And no, I'm looking at a chessboard where it's pretty simple, where the people who call the shots, who are ruling things, the powerful behind the faces, well, they're actually moving the pieces. That's what I'm seeing. And each piece is very significant. You know, if you've ever played chess, you know the value of pieces. You go from the pawns to the queen to the king. And, of course, you've got the rooks, knights, and bishops, and so on. And you get the idea, right? I mean, different pieces for different moves. And each piece has its own task based on its ability to move. So perhaps we could assign, and somebody might do this, we could assign the social networking as a piece. In fact, you know, I'd like to hear from you, the listeners. If you were to assign, social networking to a piece on the chessboard, a player on a chessboard, or the Supreme Court, which piece would it be? Think about that as a mental exercise. I want to welcome all of the stations who are picking us up across the United States and really throughout the world. Thank you so much for tuning in. Breaks will be at the bottom and, of course, at the top of the hour. In some markets, thank you very much, and thanks so much for Wisconsin Christian News. By the way, folks, if you haven't done so already, do yourself a favor. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. We're featured there prominently. The editor there, great guy. Now, this is of the paper, the actual paper, Wisconsin Christian News. I've got a column in Wisconsin Christian News. He lets me write there, actually. I don't know. You might say, well, if he lets you write there.
How much do you pay him?
Yeah, really. So, look, folks, subscribe in spite of the fact that I write for Wisconsin Christian News. There's a whole stable of just great writers, conservative Christian writers. It's an incredible newspaper. It comes out monthly, except when it doesn't. They're twice twice a year. It doesn't. It's actually 10 issues per year, but it's a great buy. You can, I would say this, subscribe to both the digital and the paper copy. I like the paper copy myself, so I can give it away and people, you know, can actually hold it, look through it. And we're featured there as well. We've got the ad for our coffee is in there. But before I move on here, I just want to say this. When you go to WisconsinChristianNews.com and you sign up, do me a favor, because the subscription rates are so low, donate, support Wisconsin Christian News. This organization is one of the very few, and I think the only hard copy newspaper Christian newspaper in the United States that really tells it like it is. So support them. Click the donate button because the cost of subscription barely covers the cost of printing and shipment. So that's WisconsinChristianNews.com. I want to thank Rob Poo, the editor there. Thank you so very, very much. Appreciate what you do. And speaking of you'll find our coffee ad in there. Hey, you want some hypercaffeinated coffee? I know I do. I'm drinking it now. Go to HagmanStore.com, HagmanStore.com. That's right. There you'll find our coffee line. And let me tell you something. It's a gourmet coffee. The proceeds go to a couple of organizations that fight child sex trafficking and human trafficking. But on your screen there, you'll see the coffees. Now, this is my go-to. This is Detective's Choice. And I want to thank Eric the Tech, by the way, for designing the bags and for the boxes. Thank you so very much. What a talented guy. But you've got your choice of whole bean, ground, and K-cups and three different blends. You've got the Detective's Choice, the hypercaffeinated. You've got the Patriot and Revolution blends as well. You can sign up for a one-time purchase or get it on a routine basis. I know they deliver. And by the way, I handpick the beans. You know that, right? Eric, the Tech, and I, we handpick the beans. I ride a donkey, a burro, into the fields, and that's what I do. Somebody's going to take me literally and say, oh, you're lying. I am so proud, really, at this point, I'm so, so very proud to have part of the program, a person I think a lot of. You're going to be surprised, folks, when I tell you who it is. This is a young lady who I believe has more courage and more integrity than than most Christian men I know. Most men I know. She is, as an investigative reporter goes, or as an investigator goes, and look, I've been an investigator for 35 years, credentialed in a number of disciplines and licensed in more than one state. I've looked at her work, and I would put her work up against any other investigator I know. And that includes some very high powerful state and federal investigators and even local investigators. Millie Weaver from millennialmillie.com. She made news and headlines here very recently reporting on the School of Sunrise Movement. The School of Sunrise Movement. All right. Sunrise Movement. What the heck is that? Well, you've got to go to millennialmillie.com. The links will be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. You're going to find out that all of these things that you're seeing out there, nothing is organic. It's less about, it's less about racist situations, racism. It's even less about George Floyd. It's less about the people involved. It's more about this organized takeover of our society and our government from within. I spent a good deal of time over the last several days watching her reports and watching her, looking at through her entire litany of videos, investigative reports, and I was just astounded. So Kevin reached out to her, and I want to thank you, Kevin, and made the arrangements, and I'm so glad to have her with us. Millie Weaver, Millennial Millie. Millie, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Doug. It's a pleasure to come on your show and be able to give some of this information to your audience.
Well, I'll tell you, we're ready, and you really made some headlines and some waves when you exposed the Sunshine Movement. I've got... I went to actually went to the or Eric the Tech and I both did went to the Sunrise Movement. Did I say Sunshine before? If I did, I apologize. Sunrise Movement. Went to their website and drilled down into their beliefs and their end game objectives and their strategy. And yeah, okay, but you really put some stuff out there. You were in this for what, a couple of years, drilling down into this movement and all of its tentacles and branches, right? I mean, well, tell us about it. How did you come across this? And just give us a kind of a summary, if you don't mind.
Okay, so originally I started seeing the Sunrise Movement at many different protests. I'm sure you know, Doug, I go around and I've been traveling for the last couple of years to many different protests and large events throughout the nation. And I just noticed always the Sunrise Movement there. They had their shirts, they had uniforms on, so it was hard to miss their logo. It's hard to miss it. And then you wonder, well, what is this? What is this group? And another thing that kind of popped into my head was when I had a conversation a couple years ago with a woman named Holly Swanson, who is very educated on the education system, has done years of research, and she brought it to my attention that the school systems were starting to integrate environmental curriculum into the schools. And some schools, especially in Oregon, certain blue states, they were starting to make it mandatory curriculum for students to graduate. So you wonder, okay, what is this environmental curriculum education? Well, when you start to actually look through their manuals, you see that behind this green environmental face is actually communism and socialism. You have quotes from actual communists, and they're perpetuating this knowledge to young children in schools. So then I started wondering, okay, well, what's really behind this Sunrise Movement, because they're so organized? So we ended up having a investigator go in and infiltrate their group, and has infiltrated them for the past 2 years, going through all their classes. You think at face value that the Sunrise Movement is just this organic youth organization that's just a bunch of young kids that think that, you know, we need climate change policies. We need policies because the earth is ending. We've all heard these kids saying they think the world's going to end in 12 years. Well, it's coming from this source. And when you actually find out what's behind the Sunrise Movement is when you start to become very alarmed and realize, oh my gosh, these are all adults. These are NGOs. These are organizations that are being, having money funneled into them. They're highly controlled. They are programming generations. Everything is extremely calculated to where they'll have these Zoom chats where they have the scripts. They actually have scripts. The young college-age kids that are teaching the high school and middle school-age kids about their movement and what to do in protests, they actually have scripts that they're reading off of. It's really wild. I mean, I can lay it all out here for you. It's going to take a lot of time. But, you know, I would really want to encourage people in the audience to go actually watch the two video reports that I've put out so far. One of them is called Undercover Investigation, Minneapolis Riot Was Pre-Planned. And the other is Undercover Investigation Part 2, Teenage Political Extortion Ring. I really lay out a lot of what went on there. But Doug, do you have any questions for me specifically about the Sunrise Movement?
You know, I feel like I spent so much of my time really getting into the videos, and I took copious amounts of notes. I guess for the people watching this for the first time or hearing about this for the first time, let me back up a little bit and just ask you. This didn't start. Obviously, the Sunrise Movement didn't start with the murder or the alleged murder of George Floyd. I mean, this was in existence for a long time. You had an asset, undercover asset, infiltrate the organization. Who's behind it? Is there any one particular person or group behind it first?
Well, it's linked up to the United Nations, the Club of Rome. It's right. Linked up to Soros. It was originally the climate plan That's what the group was originally under the Obama administration. That's when it really started to form. And then they changed the name, kept all the same people, boom, Sunrise Movement, painted as this new organic youth-led coalition when it's really not. It's completely inorganic and everything is orchestrated and highly controlled. They receive directives and orders through Discord and Google Docs. I mean, it's very controlled. And these young kids are just being recruited into it. They're going and they're recruiting middle school age kids and high school age kids. They're getting them sucked into it because the kids have already been pre-laced and I guess pre-prepped by some of the curriculum that's been put into public schools through this environmental education curriculum where they think that climate change is this huge problem and, you know, the world's going to end. I mean, we see it even in the kids the kids' entertainment. How many parents out there have seen their kids watching shows even on PBS Kids and on all these different platforms, and it's got all this environmental stuff laced in it, right? That's right. Pre-programming. So then they go and recruit the kids middle school and high school aged into their organization. The kids think it's all about climate change. Kids go farther through. They actually take training courses. The kids are being given courses over Zoom chats and conference chats on the internet. The parents could not even know that this is going on. The kid could be in their room silently sitting there being brainwashed by this group. And the group radicalizes the children. That is the problem. They teach the children how to get arrested, how to go in, that burning down buildings is a legitimate form of protest. They're radicalizing youth for their own political agenda. It's disturbing.
Are they related to or working parallel with or working interactively with organizations like Black Lives Matter and Antifa, or are they pretty much a standalone group that others follow or, just follow in their wake? I mean, where do they stand in the hierarchy of groups?
Okay. So, this is how it works. There's an organization called Momentum, and Momentum offers training for political protests. Okay. They train them on protests and civil disobedience and all of that stuff. Momentum trains both Sunrise Movement and Black Lives Matter. So they're getting instruction and training from the same group above them called Momentum, which many of the people on the Sunrise Movement leadership are also alumni at Momentum. So they've got their little stuff all tiered, right?
Yep.
So it's hard to trace, but it's clearly there. In my video I show on Momentum's own website, it shows that they were, you know, posting that they give instruction to Black Lives Matter and to Sunrise Movement. Since my video was released, they have taken that page down. But we have it in our video. They're trying to hide that. It's disturbing. They're giving instruction to these people, telling them to go out and get arrested, to use it for a political agenda. They have red team and green teams, meaning the green team are the people who are supposed to be peaceful protesters, to stay away from the police and to only be peaceful for media exploitation. So look, we're all peaceful protesters. And then they have a red team group that are designated people to go and get arrested. And they tend to put children, underage minors in the red team group because one, it looks bad for the police to arrest minors because then they can say big old bad bully police are targeting children. And two, because sometimes minors get off on a lesser infraction. So they actually put them in that group and they'll put them on the front line. We have their internal communications that they have discussed. They put these young kids on the front line and then they have the kids come out and take pictures and get photo ops with their bailout forms after they've been arrested. It's glorifying violence and criminal conduct to children. It's disturbing.
Wow. And yes. Yeah, using children, minors, as human shields, in a sense, it's just crazy. All right. When you did your expose on InfoWars, I caught that as well. And folks, I'm going to make, please do me a favor. Those listening by radio, those watching this, the links to Millennial Millie Weaver's page will be in the program description box, as will the links to the two videos part one and part two that she's talking about. So please do me a favor, watch those and share them with others. Share the links with others. And before I forget too, one thing that's really has been on my heart, and for those people who have written in and saying what a great job Millie has done, and I've gotten some in advance of her appearance tonight, and in advance of the, or after I had mentioned that she's going to be on. Do me a favor, folks. Support investigative journalism by supporting Millie Weaver. This is what investigative journalism looks like. I don't think I have to sell you on the idea of her work. I think it speaks for herself. But she's put herself on the line out there, her group, herself. But the fact that she was able to insinuate an undercover asset for that length of time into an organization, I will tell you from experience, it's not easy. And I'm sure there were moments, Millie, I'll ask you, were there moments that you had were there some dicey moments there where you were wondering if your cover was blown or if there were some issues that made you fearful at all? Or it was a pretty smooth going?
Well, I think there might have been a couple moments where our undercover felt like maybe they were going to catch on to them. But then again, our undercover was very skilled in knowing NLP and knowing a little bit of psychology, so to speak. So they knew how to play the part of a vulnerable, influenceable, naive child that would then be able to rise through the ranks. Because people that didn't reiterate the right question, the right answers back to them in their classes and through their tests, yeah, they didn't get escalated or elevated up through the ranks. So if you play that part that you're extremely subjective, that you just buy into and believe it all, and you can reiterate it right back to them, you go up the ranks. It's like a brainwashing cult. It really, really is. And so many of these young people, we had to blur their faces out in the videos because we didn't want to be putting out these young people's faces. But we've got tons and tons of documents of young people's names, their addresses. They actually write out and type out all the conversations they're having with these young kids and what the kids were interested in. And, you know, they're using all this information to brainwash children. And we're going to be releasing a lot of this. The reason why we can't just do a data dump, even though our undercover was able to obtain just, I can't even tell you, hundreds of gigabytes of documents and information, internal communications, everything. We have this all. We've been trying to put it out in piece by piece in videos because it's going to be easier for the audience to be able to digest if we can kind of explain it part by part. But we are planning to do one large documentary, and we're going to do a massive data dump with it very soon. But the reason we can't just let everything out is because we have a lot of minors, private information in there, and we don't want to be doxing minors.
Exactly.
So we have to be careful about that when we're dealing with children, because at the end of the day, these kids are being exploited. They're being used and taken advantage of by this group of adults that's perpetuating this. And, you know, we know where it links up, the Democrat Party to, you know, Club of Rome, United Nations, these groups behind this that have their own political agenda. So
it's, And I thank you, by the way, for being as circumspect as you are with respect to just tossing. I mean, I get this all the time. Well, why don't you just toss everything out there that you have from your investigation? Well, you got to be real careful, like you said. And especially when the target demographic in this case appears to be really kindergarten age forward, right? That's my understanding. I mean, kindergarten age, yeah, but I mean, you're looking at middle school and high school, at least I think perhaps the most.
Well, no, you're actually on it, Doug, because so far they have been targeting middle school and high school. But what I was actually going to bring up on the show is that we now have, because our infiltrator is still in there, they can't figure out who it is. Okay. So we're still getting information. We're still collecting Zoom chats, everything. And they have been recently discussing targeting children, elementary age children. So you are spot on right there, Doug. Yeah. They are. They've started talking about how they're going to be targeting them in forums on Slack. And they're talking about how they're targeting these forums that youth and young children, elementary age kids are in, so that they can recruit them.
Yeah, okay, all right. You mentioned the Green New Deal, and again, this is one of the questions that I received, and in fact, one of the questions I had as well. I never heard of the Green New Deal until AOC it came into being, or at least became relevant. Am I missing something, or is that the Green New Deal, did that originate with her in its current form? And then, if that's the case, what role does Cortez, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, have to play in this movement, for those who don't know?
Well, sure. You know, the Green New Deal has always been a power grab. I mean, she's not the author of it. She's a puppet, but she's well emerged inside these groups. Through the documents we've obtained, we've got links with her with Club of Rome. So she's not who she necessarily says she is, yep. But at the same time, she's a puppet. And the Green New Deal, we know, power grab, like I said, they want to push all these policies, take away our rights, take away freedoms, destroy America. UN totally behind it. But at the same time, we have AOC, who's heavily immersed in it. She's kind of a front woman for it. Her links with the Sunrise Movement are very interesting, because in one of the videos we did, we exposed with video Zoom chats where the people, young people inside the movement, were talking about Joe Biden sexually assaulting them and talking about other prominent Democrats in power assaulting them. And they were talking about how they're going to utilize that as leverage against Biden. So we actually have internal communications and then a letter that was written to Biden. And essentially what they did was they leveraged AOC onto Joe Biden's climate task force leadership board. So she's the leader of Joe Biden's task force climate policy now, because they essentially extorted him by having these young people. I don't know if they were real saying he sexually assaulted them, or if they were just ready to all jump out and say it and do like a giant Me Too movement thing on him. But I mean, it's pretty disturbing. It really is.
Come here. Let me smell your hair. Come here. Yeah. okay. Yeah. Disturbing indeed. And folks, millennialmillie.com. That's the website. Again, the link will be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. I think it's so important for you and for everyone, for us, to support Millie, her efforts, her work, because without that support, she can't do what she does. Follow her on Twitter, follow her on Twitter. I've got your Twitter page up here too. Is that Twitter? Yeah, it is. Help me out, Millie. Your Twitter
handle.
That
one is a subscribe star that they have up on the page. That's Millennial Millie on Subscribestar.
Okay.
But you can also follow me on Twitter at Millie_Weaver on Twitter.
Thank you. Yeah, no wonder I was confused. All right, there we go. But Millennial Millie was the kind of the hub where you go. And folks, you can become an access member, get a member of her website. Is that how you say that? Because I know there are different platforms that do this. For $5 a month, you can get inside information, inside postings before others. Just go to millennialmillie.com and there click on access, right? Member sign up, and then you can get the backstory.
Oh, yes.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure.
Yes, and on my website, you can also sign up for my email list, because we will be emailing out newsletters. We already have been, but, you know, for new updated information. So if you want to be able to stay in the loop in the event that social media companies ban me altogether, then millennialmillie.com is where you go. I mean, I've already been hit really hard. YouTube has demonetized my channel entirely.
Welcome.
Really for no reason. I don't put out bad content at all, and they said I had harmful content. You know, it's just ridiculous.
I know that we may say some things, like us personally, or me personally might say some things that might raise an eyebrow, but your work is all very, very objective, not subjective, and really it's not biased. It contains no political bias. So the censorship that we're seeing is agenda driven, obviously. Clearly agenda driven. So, folks, it would do you well $5 a month, have all, or have access, as well as, the newsletter. Follow her with the newsletter. Get the information, inside information. But please support, Millie Weaver as a supporter, because we need investigative journalism, and journalists like this. Without this, we would not know. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't know really about the Sunshine Movement. And one thing I found on their website, and Eric and I were looking at this and he printed this out. As you pointed out, it's, the fight against climate change exists. Now this is something a little bit more, exists alongside the fight against white supremacy and colonialism. I find that very interesting. And of course, you had referenced that here earlier in this interview. But, to what extent, may I ask, have you found this movement integrate with, we'll say, the feminist movement, or more specifically, wider than that, the LGBT whatever movement? Have you found any coexistence and facilitation among groups?
Oh, yeah. I mean, most of the people in it are some kind of sexuality or gender identity that's not what you would typically hear of man, woman. I mean, a lot of the same people are part of the LGBTQ community. But we also see that a lot of the same people in Sunrise Movement are, you would just basically see, yeah, they're part of the same thing. I mean, many of them could be going to Pride or be part of the LGBT community and other groups while at the same time part of the climate change group. But they say that they're for climate change, but really what they're for is climate justice.
Right.
So they'll say, oh, we're for climate justice, which actually means they actually say this. They say they believe that white people and white colonials have been causing climate change. So they talk about how that's a problem and how there's this gender disparity and how black people are the victims of climate change and that they are disproportionately affected by climate change. So they indoctrinate all this weird race stuff into their climate change programming, into their communist and socialist programming. And then they even have, get this, on their Zoom chats in their classes with these youth, they actually will have separate chat boards, okay, and Discord chats for BIPOC, which is what they call black interracial people of color, and for white people. So they'll say, okay, here's the link for all the white kids, and here's the link for the BIPOC, which is like black and indigenous people. And then they'll say, well, the black kids can also go into the chats with everyone, with the white kids, but the white kids can't go into the chats with the BIPOC. So it's weird. They do segregation inside their group based on race. But we've seen that. It's not surprising. We've seen that at the protests. If you go watch even their protests and their Occupy group in CHOP or CHAZ, whatever you want to call it, they had spaces only for black people, spaces only for, black and brown people, and white people weren't allowed to be there. So there's some of that weird racial stuff going on inside this group rampantly.
The hypocrisy is amazing. I wonder sometimes what, Martin Luther King, not that I would, I know what Martin Luther King was, what he stood for, that is, and who he was. But I wonder what he would think or state publicly about this. It would just be interesting. Anyway. All right. Now, before, because I'm going to get your take on this Chinese Party virus, not the virus itself, but the response to it by the various states and by individuals, especially the CDC and the WHO and such. Because you've got some videos on your website about this. But before I do, with respect to the Sunshine Movement and all that it brings with us, do you expect? And folks, again, you've got to see the videos. Go to millennialmillie.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagermanReportLive.com. But go there and watch the exposés, and more will be coming, as Millie said. But do you expect to see any, I don't want to say blowback, but what do you expect to see next based on your investigation of this group? What do you expect to see? And then I've got one follow-up question to that.
Okay, so, well, one of the things I found weird about coronavirus and sunrise was that sunrise for like the past year or so or longer has been talking about new normal. That's like one of their catchphrases is the new normal, the new normal, the new normal. Okay. And then we see coronavirus happen. And then suddenly there's this talking point almost injected courtesy of the mainstream media, of course, and these leftists of new normal. But that's like wearing a mask on your face, right? New normal. So that was one of the things that kind of stood out to me as odd. You know, but the main thing is as far as coronavirus goes, the statistics have been overly inflated. I personally would rather just get herd immunity than get the vaccine, but that's up to everyone, each their own. I think that right now during all these protests, it's convenient that they'll be like, oh, it's no big deal when we have rioters and protesters that want to go out and burn the town down and go march thousands and thousands shoulder to shoulder. But then a business owner wants to open up their business and, oh, we can't have that. Or people want to go to church. Oh, we can't have that. We can't have people that love God wanting to be on their knees praying at church. But we can have people out in the streets kneeling down and having actually like throwing Molotov cocktails at police buildings, burning down churches. So you can burn your church down. That's safe, but you can't go to church. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It shows the hypocrisy, but it also shows that, you know, a lot of these people are the Democrats' own constituents. So if the Democrats really thought these people's lives were in danger, wouldn't they want to protect their own voters because they need them at the polls? So I would think that if the Democrats, if these politicians were really that concerned, they would make their people get off the streets and stop these protests. But they didn't shut down Pride. They didn't shut down these massive protests and riots. But they want to shut down churches and they want to shut down business owners. I think the American people can really see what's going on here and see that this is all a giant fraud.
Exactly.
That's my opinion on it.
And I think that the American people are falling for this grand deception that we're seeing. My goodness. I mean, here in Pennsylvania, where we broadcast from, the transgendered, is that what he, she, it is? I don't know. Richard, now Raquel or Rachel Levine issued this, everyone must wear masks. I mean, and a new set of guidelines to combat this. Oh my goodness. And of course, I've talked to business owners, so many business owners, a number of which will not reopen their businesses because of the lockdowns and such. Just kind of give me, as we approach the end of our time together, give me what you think is going to happen. I mean, as we approach what we're 160 some days or 70 days away from the election coming up, any thoughts on what might happen, what you see taking place based on reasonable assessment of your findings?
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to clarify, you know, I say fraud, it's a fraud. I'm not saying that there's not a virus. I'm saying that I don't believe it's a pandemic. I don't believe that, you know, this is like some massive kill all black plague that's going to kill everyone. I think it's more like a flu. My father, who's a pastor, and his wife, they've got the coronavirus, and, you know, it was like a flu for them. It was a miserable flu. My dad barely had any symptoms, but his wife had symptoms. She said it was like a miserable flu, but that was, you know, the extent of it. And I think they're overinflating it for their own agenda. We know this because back in the fall of 2019, I had gotten tips from intelligence sources that there was going to be a biological weapons attack, and people were already talking about that. And you already had groups, Bill Gates groups, already doing simulated exercises for a pandemic. They were already talking about it. So what I believe was supposed to happen was they were going to have this pandemic happen, and that they were planning on the impeachment of President Trump going through successfully. It didn't. It failed. Okay, so if it had gone in successfully, who knows if they would have like got rid of Pence or done something with him or gotten Speaker Nancy Pelosi to be the person in charge and then run a full-on crazy shutdown or a big power grab with the pandemic to try to stem people trying to protest and, you know, protest over the removal of a president, right?
Right, yeah.
So I think that they're dragging it out. Obviously, we have this this violent little revolution that they had during the summertime. But I think that as fall approaches, they're probably going to start stoking more and more fears of a second wave. They're going to be like, oh, it's back. It's back.
Yep.
Boom. I'm worried that they're going to try to steal the election. We have tons of voter fraud, tons of ballot fraud and activities going on, illegal voting, all that. So I'm worried they're going to try to steal it from Trump. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully the American people show out in massive numbers and overwhelm the ballot box so they can't use their algorithms to try to essentially predict the election outcome for the ballots they would need. But, you know, if either way, if Trump wins or Trump loses, following, I think, is going to be rough. I mean, wouldn't you agree? Like, if Biden is president, it's probably going to be rough. It's probably going to be due to voter fraud. And I could imagine Americans standing up against that because he's now going to have given all this power to radical leftists. They're going to want to grab the guns, everything else. There's going to be conflict there. If Trump wins, well, you know, the left is going to have a massive meltdown. They're going to be rioting in the streets. It's going to be conflict either way, Get ready for a bumpy ride. That's why the Second Amendment is so important.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on this. It doesn't matter who wins. We are in for some really turbulent times ahead. And I think it's going to extend. I'm worried about a couple of time periods. I'm worried, obviously worried about the run-up to the election and then right afterwards. Because if President Trump wins, the left is just – they were screaming at the sky before. They're going to be – you know, shooting at the sky, maybe. I don't know. Who knows? But if Biden gets in there, that's just going to fast track everything for more of an authoritarian takeover, much like, in my view, Clinton. And I wouldn't, by the way, what do you think about this? I was thinking about this. I've been saying that Hillary Clinton, and tell me if I'm nuts, but I've been thinking about this for a long time and talking about this. Hillary Clinton to me hasn't gone away. And if Biden gets the nomination, because we're not even sure if he's going to get the nomination, he's a presumptive nominee, but let's say he gets the nomination for the Democratic, on the Democratic ticket. Do you see a Clinton influence here or a Clinton backdoor coming in? Have you thought about that or talked about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's definitely Hillary Clinton's always in the background because she's protecting her own self. She knows that the minute they don't stop pushing and that pressure is released, if Trump starts fighting back, if the Republicans and the American people start fighting back, we see all her crimes, she could be in prison again. You know, we had a source come to us, high-level intelligence source, about on a private server, on an IG's private server, that there may still be Hillary Clinton's emails. And so that's something that was handed off to the DOJ. I mean, there's always that possibility for Hillary Clinton to go down, for those emails to resurface, for things to not go so great for her. And I mean, we're seeing things like, you know, Epstein, he got arrested, but now we have Ghislaine Maxwell who's gotten arrested. And I mean, we're starting to see the dominoes falling. So the Democrats are in a position now where in order to protect their evil pedophile dynasty, they need to push hard. It's do or die for them. We've got them backed into a corner, and so they're going to fight, and it's going to be a battle. I mean, the American people need to be ready for that. This is bigger than just politics. This is the American people taking back their country from these evil politicians that have all been puppets for foreign takeover of our country. And many of these same politicians have blackmail on them, and that's why they're owned and controlled by these blackmail networks. One of the reports and things I exposed was that Bannon that
yep.
he had this group called TAC that was a strategic analysis corporation that we had someone come to us from, a whistleblower, and they basically exposed that he was running a massive blackmail network, and they had an illegal data bridge that was linked up with the NSA's databases and the CIA's databases. And they were essentially giving that information, private Americans' information, the information collected through a data bridge to private corporation. Okay. And this private corporation was just collecting all this blackmail. Mm-hmm. And the way they were able to do it is just through contracting out. Right?
Sure.
And yeah. then you had this information in the hands of private contractors, right? Who are all like intelligence assets. They're private contractors, right? They're not on the government books. They can't technically have whistleblower protections, but they have all this access and they could like leak stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so what you find there is that like virtually almost all of the politicians are compromised. There's only a little bit. There's only a few people that are not compromised. And that, unfortunately, there are many Republicans that are compromised. So when you see, you know, Mitt Romney taking the other side, you see the Bushes taking the other side, it's because many of them are compromised. So it's a matter of who is owned by who. It's a corrupt, wicked system. And the reason we're seeing people going after Epstein and that whole network there is because that was one of the main blackmail extortion hubs.
Exactly.
So they, you know, yeah. they take him to the island. They show him a good time. They get blackmail on him. Maybe they wake up next to some young kid and don't even realize it. Whoop, they got video of him, or they could be into it. Who knows? But the basic principle here is that this is a blackmail network. They own and control our politicians. That's why these politicians don't seem to have Americans' best interests at heart, and why they seem to have the globalists, the UNs, these foreign, like people like Soros, their interests at heart.
That's
it's
right.
because they're compromised. So we got to rout them out, vote them out.
Yeah. And I think it's doable. I'm not sure if it's doable in time. Look, I'm hopeful. However, I think regardless of what happens, I think Americans are going to be pushed to the point where we're probably going to see some blood in the streets. That's just me. And you know, you talked about the compromising of political officials. I understand that. I think that that's going to come into play, or it has been in play, but even more so as we get closer to November for different reasons. And I think this arrest of Ghislaine Maxwell, you can't tell me, but by the way, she was arrested, what, in New Hampshire, right? You can't tell me they didn't know where she was, or they didn't have significant enough material to file an arrest warrant and pick her up before this. I'm just wondering why it took until now. Was this a, in your view, by the way, if you have a view on this, was this a tactical move on their part, or was it more of a, got to do it because if we don't do it, it's going to start to stink and look bad for us? What do you think on that?
You know, I really haven't looked too much down that road, but my concern would be that the same thing that happened to Epstein will then happen to her. So maybe it's a way to take her and then take her out of the equation.
Right.
I don't know. Because if she's a danger to them, if she's in the hands of their enemy, if she takes a plea deal, that could be very dangerous. And we already see that she's been in talks for a plea deal in the same way that Epstein was in talks for a plea deal. So that means that she's going to be a big target. We'll have new slogans around Ghislaine Maxwell didn't kill herself.
Yeah, new hashtag, right? Yeah, indeed. Millie, before time's up, I just want to ask you the question, how can people best help you? Again, I believe, folks, in what Millie is doing. In fact, so much so that I really ask from the bottom of my heart that people listening to this and watching this support Millie Weaver. How can they best do that? Access, you'll sign up for that. But what's the best way to support your work?
Well, if you go to millennialmillie.com, share articles, share content, you can sign up there, become a member. There's paid access. It's only $5 a month. It really helps support me and it helps support my team, because you have to know I've got people behind me. I've got editors. I've got a team behind me that, you know, I have to pay, and that costs a lot of money. So things don't happen just easily, and we're really in a fight, and I've been defunded on YouTube. Yeah. YouTube demonetized my channel entirely. So that's been a big hit right there. So I don't suppose I could rely on AdSense or any of those like internet ads, because so many conservatives are just being discriminated against. If you're pro America, if you're pro God, if you're pro, you know, love and respect, and you believe that there are two genders. I mean, we're being attacked. We're being hit. So, you know, instead of, I just ask, instead of giving money to Netflix or to any of these other just evil corporations that promote and push these ideologies, please support conservatives so that we can continue to grow and to make more content. I would love to be able to do way more content, hire more writers, do more to try to push the truth out there into the country, because that's what the country needs right now is truth. You could also go to Millie Weaver on Subscribestar. Subscribestar, you know, is just another way to donate. They've got higher tiered if you wanted to donate larger amounts. It has different groups that you could choose from, you know. But the bottom line is even if you're strapped for cash, I know times are really hard right now with this coronavirus and the shutting down of so many businesses, just share the content. Get it out there. Share it. That's the best way you can help.
Okay. You know, I really appreciate your gracious gift of time. I really do, especially on short notice. I do hope you'll come back. But in the meantime, I would urge everyone to access your website. Again, the links will be provided for those listening on the radio, or for if you're watching, it'll be provided at HagmanReportLive.com. And as well as our time together will be segmented out and spread this around as well. But I do hope you'll come back and share with us your additional findings and things that you're seeing out there. I really do. And I appreciate everything you do, but will you come back?
Oh, yes. I would love to come back on your show, Doug. Okay. I've had a fantastic time here. Thank you so much for having me on.
I appreciate that. And thank you. And again, from the bottom of my heart, I know I speak for a multitude of listeners and viewers. We appreciate what you do. I really want you to stay safe out there. Keep your head down and keep on going. And we'll be looking for some excellent, additional excellent content from you here in the future. Thank you so much, Millie.
Thank you, Doug.
All right. Folks, that was Millie Weaver. And what an incredible journalist, investigative journalist. In my view, she has more courage. You know, I always want to be careful. Let me talk to you for a second, just you and I. Pull up a chair. I always want to be careful when people like Millie Weaver, when they're engaged in active investigations, when she still has investigative assets, undercover assets in various groups, the last thing that I know I want to be responsible for is causing her to say or saying something that would endanger the lives of people that are engaged in the undercover investigations. Randy Taylor and I spoke about this yesterday in terms of what, briefly we touched on it. Depending on what you're infiltrating, I mean, it's ruthless. It could be very ruthless in terms of the danger involved. I do know what Russ and his team does. I do know what Craig Sawyer and his team do. I'll tell you something. There's some things that, you know, when something goes sideways, it's not like an accident. Well, you know, whoops, we can fix this. When things go sideways, sometimes, depending on what the situation is, lives could be at stake. And, that's one place you don't want to be or you don't want to cause. So, but this is one thing that this episode right now, and I just want to be clear on this, bringing Millie Weaver out here and to have her explain the Sunshine Movement. This is big. And this is one of those, you heard her say, the Club of Rome. All right, when you start talking at that level, the Committee of 300, and then the Club of Rome, and the branching out to the CFR, Trilateral Commission, these people are real people. These groups are real groups. And of course, there's this movement out there by many to say, well, you've gone off the deep end. You're too far into the weeds. We don't want to talk about that. Well, we must talk about it because that's part of what this all is. None of this, none of what we're seeing right now in America is organically inspired. And if you think about what we said earlier this week, understand that the Arab Spring, during the Obama regime, Arab Spring was not organic. It was not spontaneous. It was well planned. And it was planned by multiple countries. And that the objective was really a change in power, a shift in power throughout the Middle East and really all across Europe. They're doing that here. You might call this American Spring, although I'm not really cool with the name. But when you look at what the tactics and the objectives are, this is the same thing. You're moving from a representative republic, as this country is, and you're attempting to change this, transform this, as Obama had said, into an authoritarian rule. Well, how can that be done, you might ask, if Donald Trump is in office? And why would they do that? They're not looking for him to be in office. They're looking to really overthrow him. And we've seen that throughout the last 4.5 years beyond his term of president. We saw this during his personal life running up to the, running into the announcement. And then, of course, as a candidate and then as a president. So this is all being tied together. And people like Millie Weaver are tying the strings together. I'd mentioned, I did that PowerPoint or keynote talking about the Committee of 300, talking about the, Club of Rome, talking about the people behind the names and faces that we're seeing. It all ties together. Hey, Jenny, I hope if you're running right now in a long distance run, Jenny from Inverness, Florida. Hey, I hope you're doing well. I hope your run's going well. And if you're just listening otherwise, I hope you're doing well. To all who listen and to tune in and to spread the word, thank you so very much. And thank you for your belief and trust in us. Up next, Health Master's review of what's going on in the news. You're listening to the Hagmann Report, HagmannReport.com. That's our show website, or show, sorry about that, Eric. I extended that. HagmannReport.com is the article page, is our main page, but from there, HagmannReportLive.com for video and audio assets. Going to be right back. See you where we are. Thanks.
Reporting on what the mainstream media won't, you're listening to the Hagmann and Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network.
Welcome to Hagmann. This is the Hagmann Report, where truth can't be silenced. Eric the Tech, can we call up one of the policy genius, perhaps, or even a local insurance company? What do you think about you and I chipping in for a life insurance policy on Ghislaine Maxwell? What do you think? We'll each toss in half the premium, and or even better yet, let's start a pool over and under on or even a death square. My doctor's office actually had, I'm kidding, had a death pool on me. I'm kidding, of course. But seriously, Ghislaine Maxwell. And I think the timing, I asked Millie Weaver this, and I think the timing on this is significant. I don't believe anymore, looking at it from the prosecutor side, when they took Epstein into custody, even the first time, the very first time, although that back years ago, that was politically massaged, so that doesn't count necessarily. But this last time when they took Epstein into custody, why didn't they grab Ghislaine Maxwell at the same time? Inquiring minds like mine want to know. And I would say that, think about it yourself. What does her being unencumbered, ability to travel, ability to do anything, what does that provide her with? Time, right? Travel. But it provides her, in my view, the ability to destroy or preserve evidence, depending on the nature of the evidence. So why now? Why grab her now? This is not, and I want to say this, I don't believe that this is any part of a 3D chess game being played by the Donald Trump Justice Department. I think it's much more sinister than that. And I think that there are deeper roots to this child sex trafficking ring. And you're talking about you're talking about leaders of countries who are involved. You're talking potentially about some very influential, not potentially, definitely, about some very influential people here in the United States. Political leaders, judicial leaders, judges, at all levels, Hollywood actors and actresses, all strata of society you're talking about. The timing should tell us something. What does it tell you? I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. Go ahead and put it in the on YouTube. Obviously, you could leave a comment. I'd like to hear your thoughts. I'd like to read what your thoughts are. Or you can send your comments to studio@hagmanreport.com. Two ends on Hagman. Tell me what you think about the timing specifically. Yes, and by the way, I have seen other videos. I understand other people's thoughts on this. And if your thoughts mirror those, yeah, you can say, well, this is what I think. Don't put a link there. Because chances are I've seen it. Tell me what you think, not what you're being told to think. Because I certainly don't. I never want to tell you what to think. I want to give you the information and allow you to make your own decision. Make up your own mind. All right, with that, you know, one of the best things you can do for yourself, folks, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart as well, one of the best things that you can do for yourself is to make sure you are taking quality nutritional supplements. Healthmasters.com is the company for those. It is so important that the supplements you take are the best that you can take. This, I used to say that this was like the Cadillac of a supplement. Now, this is the Rolls Royce, or whatever the current standard might be. This is the gold standard, in my view, of nutritional supplements. They are superior to everything. And I've taken various supplements. But when I take, for example, their vitamin B12, it's methylated, and the way it's created and encapsulated, and I'm telling you, you're going to feel an immediate difference. And what's this all about anyway? As we approach the uncertain times, I don't need to tell you, but I will anyway, that we need to feel the best we can feel. We need to have the edge on our immune system. And I'll tell you, having a very strengthened immune system, a very strong immune system, will help you, will prevent you from, you know, the colds and, I mean, just the normal stuff, right? So please, folks, go to healthmasters.com. Do it today, right after the show. Do it. Order at least the ultimate multiple. If you can only pick one product, it would be that, either in powder form, in capsule form. And they've got a flavored powder that Eric the Tech, your father, really loves, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Oh, man. And Eric the Tech walks around with, all the time with a bottle of, not a bottle, but one of the shaker things of ice and distilled water from a distiller from healthmasters.com. And the ultimate multiple powder and also purple sticks as well. But, and I see him taking all of the time. Vitamin B, D3, K2, all of that's contained in the Hagman Brewer Immunity Kit, as well as the product of the week right now is Ultimate D3 with K2. And it's important, by the way, if you're going to take... Yeah, isn't that great? I mean, if you're going to take D3, you need it with K2. And the way they have this, I don't know how they do this. I can only imagine Ted in the laboratory somewhere. You know, the picture, the mental picture I'm getting is Ted in the laboratory in Austin, not too far away. White coats, microscopes, things on Bunsen burners. Yeah. Healthmasters.com. By the way, while you're at healthmasters.com, listen to the Ted and Austin Brewer show at healthmasters.com every weekday. It's Monday through Friday for those people, residents of San Francisco or perhaps even Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I'll explain that for you. That's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Okay, that's every weekday. I'm kidding. You know how Rush Limbaugh used to do Rio Linda? Remember that? Oh, that's funny. Come on. Anyway, I listen to their show. They've got a great show, a lot of great information. I think I've stretched that out enough. Austin, how you doing?
I'm doing blessed as always, brother. How are you doing?
I don't know. You know, it's the fourth. It's the weekend of the Independence Day. I don't know. And I'm serious about that. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about things right now. I'm concerned. I'm looking at. I don't know. I mean, I'm doing well. But I'm concerned. You?
Well, if there was ever a weekend for blatant civil disobedience, this would rank up there the top of my list, to be honest with you. The level of restrictions that we've seen for this weekend have been astronomical all over the state. You know, some parts like our state down here, nothing's changed. I mean, we're hanging out, we're having fun. Tons of people got COVID, tons of people recovered from it. It is what it is. It's just one of these things that there's a virus floating around. I've talked to numerous people that have tested positive. I've had friends now. My barber, my longtime barber, if you guys saw last week, you know, my hair had gotten kind of long, really long, embarrassingly long. And now I got a nice edge up yesterday, and he didn't even tell me why he was out of town for 2 weeks. So why are you out of town? I got COVID. I had a headache, went to the doctor, tested positive. So what happened? He goes, I don't know. I was kind of laid in bed and watched TV all week. Just kind of felt tired. I said, did you test again? He goes, yeah, I tested negative now. I said, okay. I had another buddy call me up last night. And this is interesting. This one's real interesting. As you know, the financially incentivized hospitals now are trying to do everything they can to find positive tests, trying to do everything they can to find more tests. So I have a real good buddy of mine. He has a custom shop here local. I've grown up with him, known since I was 16, 17 years old. He does truck builds, stuff like that. He's been dating this one girl for quite some time, you know, like I think 3, 4, 5 years. I don't keep up with it. She's a real nice girl, though. Not real awake. He's real awake. He's like I am. Not to my extent, but real close. She's not real awake, but, you know, she kind of just, you know, does whatever, lives with him, and they enjoy their life together. Well, he's been telling her, listen, this whole COVID thing is nothing more than a ploy to lock you down. She's like, no, the government wouldn't do that to you. Oh, my God. And he's like, listen, that's what they're doing to you. She's like, oh, well, all of a sudden she gets like a sinus infection a week and a half ago. She got kind of a head cold, but not sick, like, you know, like getting stuffy nose, a little stuffed up, and kind of turned into a sinus infection. He said, you know what, babe, go to the doctor. go see what's going on. They may need you antibiotics for a, you know, sinus infection. I told him how to fix it, but she wouldn't listen. So anyway, she goes to the doctor. They look at it and said, yeah, you look like you got a sinus infection. We got to give you a COVID test too, though, because pretty much anybody that comes into the clinic, they got to get a COVID test now. She goes, okay, they do a COVID test. They come back. They say, hey, it's negative. Got a negative COVID test. Okay, cool. Everything's good now. Well, yeah, everything's good. Well, then she gets notified here, I think yesterday or the other day, basically sent her all this literature that you're a COVID patient. She looks at the paperwork. They're down as a COVID patient. She calls them up. She goes, I tested negative for COVID. They said, yeah, I know, but because of a precautionary measure, because you had a head cold, we're putting you down basically as a COVID patient. She goes, but I don't have COVID. They said, yeah, I know, but see, here's the kind of thing how that kind of works. We want to make sure, just in case, that you quarantine for 14 days because you may have COVID. So we're going to make sure we put down as COVID. She goes, well, what happens if somebody tests positive for COVID? How do we know that test wasn't a false positive? Well, no, that's, if they test positive, they're definitely positive. Okay, so if they test positive, they're definitely positive. If they test negative, they're probably still positive because your tests suck. Well, not really that way, but we're putting you down as positive. So she hangs up on them. So now what they're doing is any person that comes in with any type of cold, any type of stuffy nose, any type of sore throat, any type of anything, even if they take a COVID test and it tests negative, they're being treated and put down on the roster as a COVID-19 positive test. That's what's happening down here in Central Florida. So when you start asking yourself these questions, why are they promoting this? Why are they pushing this? Because they want to keep everything locked down. And the only way to keep everything locked down is to continually make everybody believe that the rates are going through the roof, that everybody's basically under fear. Everybody's getting sick. Here's what they did in California. Everybody has to wear a mask the entire state. July 4th in LA and a bunch of other ones. You can't go on the beach July 4th weekend. Can't go on the beach. Can't shoot fireworks off, which I don't understand. I guess COVID doesn't get scared of fireworks. So if you're shooting fireworks, COVID gets attracted to that. It's going to jump on you if you shoot fireworks off. I guess that's the idiotic logic that they're presenting out there now. You can't shoot off fireworks. Not just general groups as far as like the city, but you can't have fireworks at your house. If you shoot fireworks at your house, we're going to come and find you. So I didn't know COVID was attracted to fireworks. I don't know. My point in saying all this, it's been a crazy day. We get phone calls left and right. A lot of people are freaking out again. I tell everybody, just calm down. Listen, calm down. Relax. Take a deep breath. Figure out how you need to handle the situation. Progress from there. I got a letter. I told you guys that last week. Got a letter from a doctor stating it's basically I cannot wear a mask. I have a health issue. Wear a mask. They can't ask me what my health issue is. They can't discriminate me because basically it violates the American Disability Act. So they can accommodate me and tell me to walk outside of public so they can tell me basically, you know, they'll help me get my order and bring it out to me, but they cannot refuse service to me because of a health disability. Now here in Auburndale, our little Central Florida we have right in here, they haven't mandated any type of mask at all. But in Lakeland, the next city over, that's why I'm bringing that up, they mandated mask till August 2nd. Any public setting, store, or building, you have to wear a mask at all times or they'll fine you $250. That's right here in Conservative, Polk County, 15 miles west of my house. Mm. Right now, if you go outside, if you're walking around and you don't have a mask on, we can fine you $250. So, right. Of course, naturally, I immediately had my papers drawn with my doctor last week. So now I'm going to find out next week because I got to go to Lakeland for. I'm going to actively go places in Lakeland and walk around and see what happens when I hand them my paper and see how they respond. I may record it if it starts to get aggressive, if it's just one of those, okay, here's your paper, don't worry about it. And then I thought to myself the other day, what a time is this that I have to walk around with my papers, so I can enter a store freely, unmolested, without my face covered. What a time is this, Doug?
Well, yes. You know, and it's been pointed out to me, hey, you can't buy, you can't sell, unless you have a mask or unless you conform to the edicts, the wishes, the whims of, in our case here in Pennsylvania, I make no apologies in saying Dickless Levine or Rachel Levine, it's a transgendered, I guess it's Rachel, but it was Richard, I think, initially. I don't know. But
Richard.
But the thing that gets me.
A little jacket.
The thing that gets me is the fact that, I mean, a couple of things. Obviously, number one, you've got a person who's anti-science by attempting to change genders despite the DNA being the same regardless of what you cut off, right?
You can change your name.
You can change your name. You can change your
address.
You can change your underwear, but you can't change your DNA. But anyway.
Nope.
So we have this this individual telling us what to do. That's not instilling a lot of confidence in me if that person cannot decide or accept science. But okay, that aside.
Right.
That aside, what's the end game here? And are we going to see a second wave? And if we do, is the clampdown going to be even worse? Because now you're seeing not just the mandates, but the hey, if you don't wear $250 or arrest or so now it's starting to get, they're starting to dig in and dig in deeper. So, but what's the end game objective here? I mean, what the hell are they doing?
Well, as we've kind of seen it, you know, absolute power absolutely corrupts, so to speak. And this is exactly what we're seeing here is the beginning of this when it started, you know, in March, and we started to see the lockdowns, the shut down your business, all this stuff. It was such a punch in everybody's face. It was that, you know, you come squared up and you get hit right in the nose, right out of the gate. You miss the block, you get hit in the nose. And you're like, oh my gosh, that sucked. I fought for years when I was younger. Never liked getting hit in the nose. Sucks. Horrible getting hit in the nose. You missed it. You missed the block. Everybody's like, okay, this is horrible. We got hit in the nose. Step back. Let's regroup. Let's go at it again. And so everything kind of started to bounce back a little bit. People started to open up their businesses. Everybody was absolutely irate, unbelievably mad that it had happened. Then, of course, people started to come together. People started to talk. Social media started to go bigger and bigger about what was going on, and nobody was agreeing with it. So, of course, they had to bring in the paid Antifa and Black Lives Matter terrorists and bring in that segment. And I'm using that context, terrorist, in a very specific statement. I clarified this the other day with my friend. The terminology, all Black Lives Matter, I fully agree with that. All White Lives Matter, all Hispanic Lives Matter, all Asian Lives Matter, the list goes on. Absolutely right, all Black Lives Matter. We're all made in the image of God Almighty. All of our lives matter, 100%. God says that in the Bible. There's nobody higher, there's nobody lower. All of our lives matter. However, the rhetoric and aggression and extreme violence that we have seen promoted in some of the wording and some of the statements and a lot of the actions that are being promoted, considering the fact that groups are full Marxist, this is not a group that is integratable with American Christian culture. The groups that are pushing Black Lives Matter at the top are not integratable with American Christian culture. The idea, the phrase Black Lives Matter, all Black Lives Matter, all White Lives Matter, all Hispanic Lives Matter, those are all accurate phrases. But the groups that are pushing them are not. They cannot integrate. Period. It cannot happen. Either one side is going to take over, or we're either going to maintain our Christian American heritage. This is why they're going in and trying to rename national monuments. Now they're talking about Mount Rushmore. They want to rename military bases. They want to rename national parks. They want to tear down all statues. That is right in the middle of the Communist Manifesto. Karl Marx, that's exactly what they do. You want to remove history. You want to separate yourselves from history so you can rewrite and rebuild under a new communist doctrine. That's the stated goal, essentially, so to speak. So this is what they're promoting. So that being said, back to what you asked. They're trying to push this with the COVID. So now they're saying, listen, if you want to keep your business open, if you don't want to be fined, if you want to make sure we don't come by and knock on your door and seize your business and fine you tens of thousands of dollars for having people in your store without masks, which they're saying that now in California, if you have a store and you don't require people to wear masks, they're going to fine you, if not shut down your business. So now everybody's having to capitulate. Instead of just shutting down your business, now you're having to be submissive. Okay, I'll keep my business open, and I'll make everybody wear masks. That's what I'll do. And then everybody going outside is doing the same. I don't want to get fined. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to have a civil infraction. I don't want to get arrested. So I'm going to wear a mask. I'm going to wear a mask. I'll capitulate. I'll be submissive. I'll wear a mask. Now, as we already know, the mask from true ideology, from true science, from true literature, they even say on the box, the mask does absolutely nothing, the normal mask. Now, if you're walking around with a double can respirator, you know, full shield mask, everything, whatever type of toxin gets exposed to you, you're absolutely right, that's going to work great. I don't see anybody wearing around with those. I haven't seen one single person walking around with those. The mask is a form of submission, and it's going to take to the next step further, including the COVID pass. That's why the COVID pass, including 15 other countries, now been accepted, including the United States. That's going to be the next thing. If you want to be able to travel and go places, you're going to have a COVID pass. I saw an article yesterday that I thought was quite troubling, because everybody now that has a large deal of money, including bankers, including Fauci, including a lot of these other bobbleheads that have very little activity and really no validity to what they say, are now trying to state their opinion, but state it with such strength that they expect everybody to listen to it, or else. That's pretty much what it is. Listen to me or else. Same communist doctrine. This is an article that came out basically on MarketWatch. Thought it was interesting. It says, and this is the title of it, Goldman Sachs has done the math. They've done the math, Doug. And a national mask mandate to halt the spread of the coronavirus would have a big positive impact on the U.S. economy. Okay, so Goldman Sachs has done the math. They've done it. If you wear a mask, our economy will come back. This is, again, exactly how these bankers work. Oh, listen, guys, if you wear a mask, your economy is going to come back. They're blatantly telling us, if you be submissive and you listen to us and you do exactly what we tell you to do, we'll give you your economy back. But if you don't, it's going to be a long road ahead. It says right here, Goldman Sachs projects that the lack of a national policy mandating the use of face coverage throughout the entire U.S. is delivering an unnecessary hit to the domestic economy. So now we have the Goldman Sachs, who's now trying to dictate medical policy, including wearing face masks. This is the tip of the iceberg. This is the beginning of a communist government controlled, centralized through the central banks. This is how it starts. First, it's masks. Then it's a pass. Then it basically, what happens is, if you don't have a mask or a pass, you cannot pass go. You cannot collect $200. They've already said now, basically, in Lakeland. I talked to my buddy this morning. He said, if you go up to a place and you don't have a mask on, and he goes, I don't know if you have a letter or not. He goes, I don't have a letter. But if you don't wear a mask, they'll flat tell you to leave. See, you can't come in without a mask if you don't have a medical letter. So they're denying you basic necessities like buying food and water, Doug, if you are not wearing a mask and being a good little submissive peasant. So again, this is where it starts. They're training the populace. They are doing this like lab rats. They're doing this exactly like lab rats.
You are absolutely correct. My guest is very eloquent, Austin Brower, healthmasters.com. That's his website, folks. Please do me a favor. Go there now and make sure you're well-stocked on your nutritional supplements, including especially your Ultimate Multiple. HR5 is a coupon code, at least until Monday at midnight. Take advantage of the 5% off on non-saleable items, and as well as the product of the week, which is the D3K2, a phenomenal product. But let's work on getting your immune system built up. But, Austin, I'm going to run something by you here. An article earlier today, or yesterday, I think it was. I'm sorry, it was yesterday at Conservative Treehouse. They put up a video. It's a 1 minute video. I'm going to ask you to take a look at this. And this is what you just said. Kind of. I mean, this verifies exactly what you were talking about. The example that you had given about your friend in terms of how they identify COVID cases, okay, and why the numbers are so screwed up. So we ask ourselves, why are they doing this? Okay, so then there's the aspect of contact tracing. Well, that contact tracing is important as well for surveillance purposes, but there's more to it. But with the numbers, without this pandemic, without the Chinese Party coronavirus pandemic response, The left cannot easily get mail-in votes, you know, mail-in voting.
Yep.
Okay, so that's number one. They cannot easily shut down rallies and political campaigning of President Trump. They can't easily, can't block the campaign contrast between President Trump and, we'll say, a Joe Biden. It's shut down. They don't have a mechanism without this specific response to limit, to keep voters isolated from one another and funnel them to social networking, which is then, of course, used as a censoring platform or mechanism. And then the blue state economies. Think about that. The shutting down and continue to block the commerce in blue states, especially in blue states, but not only in blue states, all everywhere. And so on. The advancement, the influence, the organization. This is just incredible. But if you don't mind, take a look at this video, because this speaks to what you said earlier. And this is about, the rising number of coronavirus, Chinese Party coronavirus cases, ? Can we play that? It's only 59 seconds or 58 seconds long. Go ahead.
New definitions for designating COVID-19 cases has been distributed by the Department of State Health Services in Texas. In this document, you'll see that we have current case definitions. And prior to the new case status definition, a person must have a positive result for COVID-19. So therefore, this is sort of the person with COVID-19. All these people are not marked as COVID-19. So this is one confirmed case. They do a new case definition where they include people with close contact or confirmed probable cases. And then you go down to sort of how they are defining probable cases. It can be people that are in close contact and have symptoms. So basically, there are now 15 different options for a person to be classified as a probable case. And the new probable case definition basically has this person as well as all of these other people. So total cases, 17. One confirmed, 16 probable. Are public health agencies deliberately manipulating data to inflate cases and cause hysteria? It sure seems that way.
And that's, of course, that's for YouTube. The attribution was on the top right. But also what you said was if there are two symptoms, a person has two symptoms, for example, a dry cough and a fever, well, that's automatically, that's a presumptive positive. And that also, where you saw confirmed, that presumptive positive acts, or presumptive positive acts as a confirmed. So this, that was done in Texas and was shown by InfoWars. So that's what you're saying. And this mask stuff, and you're right about the masks. I mean, so all of this, we're being gamed, obviously, but what, showing our submission? I mean, by wearing masks?
Right. We're being played for fools, Doug. Here's how the entire thing is being laid out, as you see it happening here. To gain an entire dictatorial control of the United States populace on the route that we were before, with a booming economy, a still fairly free market, people being able to travel freely, unmolested on their way, would have been virtually impossible. We know, as far as in order to build the New World Order with the IMF and the United Nations and the whole global banking cartel, the last man standing is the United States. And we're way too resilient and way too strong. The issue that we have that America has gotten really susceptible to is fear. Americans used to be not fearful of just about anything. I mean, it was like, dude, you want it? Come get it. I mean, America was the most aggressive country in the entire world. We're the most resilient. We're the strongest. We're unbelievably smart when it came to things, and we saw through BS. Well, now you've had this generation of political correctness. You've had these generations of learned helplessness. You've had this generations of welfare. You've had generation after generation after generation now for multiple decades that basically have been told, obey the government. The government provides for you. Listen to what they say. Do what they tell you to do. Don't ask questions. And they'll basically take care of you moderately well. It's all obviously a lie, but that's what they've been told. So we've had, say, in the instance, say after World War II, even after so many brave men died in World War II, say you still probably have 70 to 80% of the entire U.S. population. was very strong, very resilient, very awake, and didn't tolerate BS anymore. Still pretty sharp. Well, then you had all the issues in the 60s and 70s and 80s and so forth. I'm not going to do a history lesson. And then you had, you know, the 2000s. We had Iraq War. We had the lie with the 9/11. Not the lie that that happened, but the lie behind it and the whole reasoning why we got into the war with Iraq and the weapons of mass destruction, blah, blah, blah. And so people started to wake up what was really going on. But you had the group that was awake and alive and called out BS. It kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s by people being dumbed down and lied to, especially with the CIA coming about in the 50s and learning what they could do through manipulation, through televisions and through music and through news. And so now that 70, 80%, probably after World War II, is probably down to, say, 10 to 15%, I might say at the most, maybe 20% of the United States population actually awake, and I'm being generous. And so you have now a generation that they believe whatever they're told from the government and the media. It doesn't matter if the media got on the news today and said, listen, we found out this cures COVID. You go outside and you eat a big pile of dog crap. We promise you the dogs have enzymes in it that'll make you immune from COVID. Eat a big pile of dog crap and you'll never get COVID. I can guarantee you if they said it enough times on the media, you would walk outside eventually and start seeing a small segment of the population eating dog crap. That's how trained they are. This is what they're doing right now. So going back to what I was saying, in order to get a populace that's going to be fully submissive and to get a one world currency, to get a digital currency, and ultimately reach into the mark of the beast in Revelations, I was always curious about that when I was younger, how that would occur. How could you get a country so strong, so resilient, so aggressive to deal with something at that point? You can't buy or sell without a mark? No way. Get out of here. I'll never have an America. Well, they did it through fear. They've scared the majority of the population into believing the lies. And again, I'm not saying COVID is unreal. I'm not saying don't stay healthy. I'm not saying don't make sure you're not eating clean, taking some D3, taking some vitamin C on a regular basis. I'm not saying that at all. I think those are very good things. I do every single day. Most people I know that have gotten COVID, that have hammered vitamin C and D3, bounce back out of it within a few days. But what I'm saying is they're using this as stepping stones. They're real small stepping stones. The lockdowns were first, the restrictions, the COVID tracing, now the mask. Next, it'll be the COVID pass in order to actually travel. The next will be you have to get a vaccine in order to do any of this. And it's going to continually go down the line. So what they'll say is next, oh, basically, if you don't do this, you can't do that. And it'll get progressively more aggressive and more aggressive and more aggressive until eventually it's going to reach a point where people are going to say, please, just stop. We will do anything we can to go back to our old way of life. Just please tell us what to do and we will do it. And that is where these guys want to take it. Because once they get the populace to that point where they're so weary and so tired and so worn out, they will submit to anything. And in my opinion, I think we're just warming up right now, personally.
I agree.
We're just warming up right now.
Yeah.
The COVID's just starting for us.
Yeah. I totally agree with you on that. And to that end, as we're just warming up right now, what are you expecting, and what should we be expecting, especially I know coming in, I mentioned this, and we briefly touched on this, but here we are, the day before our Independence Day here in America.
Yeah,
I'm concerned that this will be our last Independence Day. Regardless of what happens with the election, this is going to be our last one, at least the as we know them to be, as we know what independence is.
You're very right. What we do this weekend, in my opinion, how we handle it, how submissive or how belligerent we are, so to speak, in the terms of not listening to unlawful orders, is going to determine a lot how the rest of our year goes. Because remember, they beta test this and they also run algorithms on it. They watch what people do. They watch what people say on social media. They see how people respond. They see how many police calls they get. They see all these things. They run. That's why the NSA has that gigantic data gathering center in Utah. They monitor all of it. And the more, you know, militant people are against unlawful orders, they realize, okay, we may not be ready for this yet. We got to scare them some more. We got to try to push them some more. And this is what they're doing right now. They're telling you and showing you that this whole thing is a complete and total crap show and we're being lied to and taken for sweet ducks. Not that COVID is fake, but what we're being told is completely manipulated and we're being taken down the river, is the fact that for the last 4 weeks, not an utter word was brought up about Black Lives Matter, Antifa, or any of these groups protesting. Tens of thousands of people shoulder to shoulder, nothing happening, nothing going on, no COVID rebound cases, no problem whatsoever, state senators, individuals in the media encouraging this behavior, encouraging it, telling people you need to do what you want, you need to protest, civil rights, you need to do all this stuff right now, it's so important. And then all of a sudden, right before July 4th, oh, sorry guys, you can't do that. You can't, you know, we know everybody was protesting last week, but you cannot go out on the beach. You cannot have gatherings for more than X amount of people. You cannot have fireworks. You can't do it. You can't do it right now. I mean, I got a ton of people coming over tomorrow. I got a ton of people coming over the property. We're going to shoot a bunch of guns, blowing up a bunch of huge mortars that I got. A ton of people coming over. Why? It's a celebration. It's our Independence Day from a tyrannical England bank. That's what it is. And if people can't see what's being done right in front of our face, and we're believing right now for 1 second that the government actually is doing this because they care about our health, first off, the hospitals want to have as many COVID cases as they can. Let's just be straight up. They're getting tens of thousands of dollars per every COVID case, for every patient that's admitted, and especially for every COVID death. That's what the $2.2 trillion was for. So like 400, 500, 600 billion of that's allocated to all these different hospitals all over the country, if not more. Why? Because they wanted to incentivize them. Think about what would happen if we had incentivizing for the flu. Every single person that comes in positive for the flu, this hospital is going to get $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 per patient, admitted, death, so forth. Ah, dude, to guarantee you the flu rates would go up. Guaranteed they'd have a ton of flu rates. Go through the roof. Why? Because they're making money. Of course. Why would you not? I'm not making a lie. If I was a really far left communist hospital director, somebody told me, going to get $10,000, $20,000 for every COVID test that's positive, I'd be like, we can use that budget money. I need a bunch of new equipment, everything else. Shoot, everybody's COVID. The dog's COVID. The baby's COVID. The mom's COVID. The people outside, they're COVID. I don't even know who they are, but they're COVID. There's five people outside. They're on the list too. Get their names. I mean, everybody's COVID. I get it. If you are really going to push that communist agenda for the money, that's what they've done now. And so this is what people have to understand. This weekend is crucial. Get out. Enjoy yourself. Take your supplements. Take your vitamin C. Since I've been taking the microdosing of vitamin C and multiple other people I've doing it, my energy level's through the roof. Sinuses are great. Energy's great. Mental acuity's great. 1,000 to 1,500 milligrams multiple times a day until I hit about 5, 6, 7,000 milligrams depending on my day. Then I usually take about 10,000 IUs, 20,000 IUs of vitamin D every day. Everybody I know that has done this, I've getting emails left and right. Everybody I know that's been doing this has been staying extremely healthy. That's why this weekend we're doing the Freedom 5 coupon all across the store. Freedom 5 and the HR 5, both of them are active, and both of them will work on the D3. D3's product of the week right now. Like you said earlier, it's already 10% off. I normally never stack coupons in sales, but it's already 10% off. If you want to use the Freedom 5 coupon or the HR 5 coupon, they both do the exact same thing. I'm allowing it to work on the product of the week because I want everybody to stay healthy. And of course, if you don't, and there's a reason why we have the high dose of K2 with it, as you were saying earlier. It's to help prevent plaque into the arteries. High levels of D3 can cause plaque into the arteries. The K2 completely prevents that. And it also helps out with the absorption of bioavailability of the D3. So again, while everybody's sitting in their home, cuddling in fear, shivering, shaking, gnashing their teeth, watching CNN spew their lies and shovel poop on them like they're a mushroom, get outside, get some sun, get some fresh air, enjoy family, friends, live, love, life, and have fun. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy being an American. Because as you said, Doug, I don't know how much longer we're going to have the ability to live carefree, so to speak. Because it's going to be a point in time here very soon, in my opinion, the way this is going, that we're going to have to make a stand for what our convictions are in this country. So enjoy every minute we have now. I mean, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and of sound mind. Now, I always add on their preparedness. God wants you to be prepared. I encourage everybody to have food buckets. Have some training. Have some ammo. People are getting more and more militant with one another. And try to walk in love the best you can. Don't be overtly aggressive and belligerent with people unless the time comes. Now, at certain points in time, you got to do it. You got to throw out the money changers out of the temple, so to speak. Certain point in time, you got to get mean. And I mean dirt dog mean. That's not something that you want to do on a regular basis, but there becomes a certain point in time where you have to stand by your convictions on what's going on. And I encourage everybody to do that this weekend. And I don't mean running around being flamboyant and coughing on people and trying to be stupid like that. But I mean, if you want to have friends over, shoot, if you want to go to the beach, I'd go to the beach. I don't live near a beach. I would go to the beach. We have a lake down by the end of our property. That's where we shoot fireworks off on. But enjoy yourself. If you train, practice with your firearms. Conserve ammo, obviously, because it's gotten very expensive. But practice. Practice some long range. Practice your breathing, your trigger control, your sight picture, your windage. Practice. Because you may need them really soon, Doug. Just saying.
You know, what you said about ammo, I've noticed I don't want to say there's a shortage, but certainly they're slim pickings with respect to ammunition. Oh, yeah. And then the prices are going up. That tells me a lot. And also, I just had the numbers here. There were 300 and you know what? I'm not sure where the – let me see if I have it right here. I don't know whether you saw this or not. Okay, here it is. I did bring this up. 3.9 million background checks were conducted in June of 2020 for gun purchases. Now, that could be for more than one firearm. Now, that's historic. That's the highest month since November of 1998 when the system was created. So you're looking at 3.9 million background checks. So this trend, by the way, has been consistent for the last 4 months, April, May, June, and back in March. I should put March in there as well. But halfway through this year, Austin, just over 19 million checks. Think about that. 19 million checks have been done, more than all of 2012 and each of the years before that. So we're just finishing up with, we just finished up with June, and we've already surpassed every year since 2012. So I think people are fixing on using weapons. I suppose there are people in there that are getting them for preps, but I do suspect that there are people in there who are buying their third, perhaps fourth weapon, and they're thinking, okay, this is going to go hot pretty soon. So what's going to be flashpoint?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I always say at least four. I'd prefer four weapons, basic categories of weapons, and have the ammunition to feed them. You know, long range, preferably like a 308, AR-15. That's always a standard M4. I like Daniel Defense, but I mean, if you want to mix those two together in kind of a long range, medium range AR in one package, you can do that. Have a good concealed carry pistol that you can also carry outside the waistband. It has good capacity magazines, and have a 12 gauge, man. I mean, that's your basic one. You don't have to get extravagant with it. You don't have to go and buy, you know, $3,000-$4,000 comp guns. You don't have to do all that. You know, pistols that are $5,000. I mean, that's crazy for competition guns. A lot of people, that's not in their budget. But having some good basic necessity guns like that, and then having the ammunition to feed them. And it's funny, I've talked to a lot of people, they've been like, oh man, ammo's gotten so expensive. I'm like, oh yeah, it's price, man, supply and demand. Like, oh, I can't get hardly any more ammo, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, cool. They're like, can I get some of your ammo? I was like, oh, what are you talking about? Ammo? Never heard of it, man. We're talking about ammo. I don't know about any ammo. They're like, dude, I know you can know about ammo. Nah, bro. Don't know about any ammo. Nah, we're not playing that game. We don't sell stash ammo. We surely don't blast about our ammo. And so this is what people are kind of seeing now as they wait to the last minute, which I commend them. They're still at least getting prepped. Better late than never. But yeah, I think a lot of people have had enough, Doug. And I think people are realizing it. You know, I talked yesterday in detail about the video that surfaced in Michigan, Orion City, Michigan, at the Chipotle 2 days ago.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. And I got the video, the short video, the one that just started with the white woman with the firearm in the lady's face. And that went viral. It got like 7 million views on Twitter. Well, of course, I was like, this is not the whole story.
Right.
So I finally dug up the full video. Did you see the full video?
I saw the full video. Yes, I did. Go ahead.
And that was a completely different scene and scenario than the one that the media was posting and the one that was going on Twitter. And so it was one of those things where I sent the video out to a ton of people. I sent them both videos. I said, this is what the media wants you to see. This is what really happened. And I even sent it to my brother. My brother's about to finish law school up in Tallahassee. And I said, what are your thoughts on this? This is a very gray situation because there are so many things going on. So many sides are back and forth. What really is going on here from a legality standpoint? And he said, well, the first thing about it is blocking entry into somebody's vehicle is unlawful imprisonment. You can't stop somebody from getting into their vehicle. And that's what they were originally doing at the beginning of the video when they were in her face. Then they also had, I think, verbal assault because they threatened to beat her up and her husband up when they were trying to get in the car and leave. And then you had the woman. This world was kind of sketchy because you couldn't really get a full shot, but it appeared very clearly that the black woman went behind the vehicle, started banging on the window intentionally, and then yelling, don't run me over, while she stands behind the car and bangs on it. Clearly, she's pulling a, you know, playbook from the Black Lives Matter group where they like to get in front of vehicles and say, don't run me over while people are driving. You know, I don't know, Doug, if some, you know, some people just didn't get told when they were 2-3 years old that traffic and road kills you and they've never learned about weight and they don't understand that you're not supposed to stay on the road. I don't understand the concept. Why people think they're going to walk out in the road and then they get hit and they're like, oh my gosh, I got hit by a car. Why'd that happen? It's kind of like if you get on top of a building and you step off. It's physics. It's gravity. Things hurt when you don't abide by them. And so these are just something that is going on. And then finally, the woman gets out of the handgun and draws down on the lady. And two other people, you see the corner, two other people are congregating on the situation. So it looked like there was a 4-on-1 scenario. And then her husband got out. And I asked Harrison, he's like, you know, they probably could arrest her. And they said they did stop her and they detained her. But apparently they released her subsequently. I guess they saw the other video or they did some more research on it, the white woman. It was interesting.
I didn't mean to interrupt you here. I'm looking at my other computer. I'm looking at the fact that – now, this happened in Oakland County, Michigan.
Michigan.
Okay.
Yes.
It says here the Detroit – News said that this woman, the individual who drew down, who pulled the gun, was arrested and is now facing a 4-year felony charge, or the felony charge that
could get her. Okay, that's an update. Okay, yes, I hadn't seen anything on the day. I had heard that she was released, so I can't get a straight story on it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's the latest. Hang on. Talk amongst yourselves.
Because this is really an important thing because we have to look at this and we need to follow this case. You and I both, I've encouraged everybody to, because this act, they actually try to prosecute her. This is a very, very gray matter because when you're dealing with verbal assault, when you're dealing with false imprisonment, when you're dealing with vehicular issues and people basically not allowing you to leave the scene, because that couple, as you saw in the full video, they were actively trying to de-escalate and leave. They did not want to be there. She even rolls down her window, even apologizes. She goes, I'm sorry if somebody made you feel like this. We are not racist. We're just trying to leave. And so they were intentionally trying to instigate it. And Dad brought up a scenario, and I didn't even think about this. He goes, how do you know those girls that were there, those black women that were there with the cameras, how do you know they were not trying to go around and instigate problems with people? I said, I don't know. He said, I don't know that either. So I'm just throwing that out there. He goes, we know there's provocateurs in the riot groups and BLM and Antifa and so forth. So what happened with this? So they're saying now that they're basically charging her with felony weapons charges?
Actually, yes, they were arraigned. Now, this according to the Detroit News yesterday. They were arraigned on felony charges. Yeah, this is serious because you're right. When you look at that video snippet that's going around, you don't get the whole story. When you see the larger video, my goodness, if it were my wife, my daughter in that position, she exercised restraint. Although I didn't see any charging of her or anything like that, but certainly in terms of, a physical confrontation, but there was enough there for her to, to chamber around and to say, step off, in my view anyway. But yeah, they were arraigned. So Is this what, I mean, is this where we're at? That we cannot protect ourselves in a situation like that because of obviously in this case, in my view, the racial factor. And you're right.
Oh yeah.
So it was a mother and daughter, a black mother and daughter who were really getting on this, husband and wife, and the wife was pregnant. The wife was 32, and I'm not sure how old the husband is. And the mother and daughter, I'm not sure how old they were, but the adult or the daughters appeared to be of majority age. So, yeah, I don't know, but I do see the law working against the gun owner in this case. Just saying.
Yeah, it's a very strange situation. It's a very troubling video to me to see somebody who's obviously a law-abiding citizen. She had concealed carry. She had a legal firearm. She was trying to actively de-escalate. They were trying to leave. They were trying to get in the car. They were trying to drive off. They obviously did not want a continued conflict. And then you have this other group who's blatantly trying to instigate it. And apparently it all started because, I guess, the 15-year-old girl shoulder checked the white girl, or vice versa. She ran into the black girl. That none of that was on video. It was all basically the early discussion of it. And so it was ironic to think that you're walking out Chipotle's, you bump into somebody's shoulder, which I've done that numerous times. Sometimes I'm wide when I walk out a door and I'm running to somebody. Lots of people are like, oh, my bad, man. You know, whatever. Like, it's been passing by. It's like nothing by it. I mean, now if you blatantly just truck through somebody while you're looking at them in the eyes and you bang into them and push them on the ground, that's a completely different story. But they even upheld in many court aspects as far as accidentally brushing into somebody or touching somebody accidentally cannot be really construed as battery. Because at that point, like, well, what's high five? What's, you know, if you accidentally step into somebody in a line? I mean, there's a line between battery and between accidental touch. And so that whole situation was even on camera. But then the context to me was the false imprisonment, because that put her in a precarious situation with her husband. They're trying to leave the situation. They're backing up. The girl blatantly, and you can watch the news, she blatantly walks to the back of their minivan intentionally. And then as soon as they're backing up, she starts hitting on the window multiple times, saying, don't run me over. Which, I mean, let's be real. I mean, unless she was blind and she was deaf and she didn't know where she was at, which clearly she wasn't by the video, you can't really take that as a whole lot of, oh, I didn't see you, you backed into me kind of thing. And so then at that point, if you hit her, though, and she runs off and it's on camera, then she could charge you and try to charge you with a hit and run and get the tag. So you got to stop because she banged on the glass and said you hit her. And then when she gets out, she gets in your face and basically starts threatening you with great bodily harm. What a crap show. I mean, that's all it was. And to think, though, that this is starting to escalate in areas like this, I really hope the full video gets to the prosecuting attorney. I'm sure it will. And I really hope they're going to dismiss it and basically say both parties were at fault in maybe some areas. We're just going to drop this. There's no reason to escalate this. If they do really try to prosecute it, I will be honestly surprised. But on the other hand, too.
I'm telling you. I didn't mean to overtalk you or interrupt, but,
yeah.
But as part of the bond conditions for this couple, who, by the way, were carrying legally, as part of the bond conditions, this couple might, and they had, by the way, legally carrying with a license, the registered guns, the whole bit. But they must turn over all of their firearms.
What?
And, yes. This. Okay. This has been verified now. And again, this is Orion Township, Oakland County,
yeah.
Michigan. That's right. And the exchange is just incredible that you see the video. But yeah, so Oakland County prosecutor Jessica Cooper processed Jillian Wustenberg, 32, and Eric, her husband, 42.
They both got arrested.
Yeah, each with one count of felonious assault, a 4-year felony. Let's see, the Independence Township couple each possessed one loaded firearm, CPL license. Okay, no problem there. But yeah, as part of the bond conditions, they have to turn over all of their firearms. And it just goes in to say, well, you know, but there was a press conference yesterday afternoon at the Oakland County Sheriff's Office headquarters in Pontiac. The department played 6911 calls that came in around 6 p.m. Wednesday, one allegedly from the woman, Jillian Wusterberg, saying that she felt threatened by two females who were damaging her car in the parking lot in South Baldwin near Interstate 75. And other calls came from Chipotle employees and bystanders. Okay, so the deputies responded to the incident, placed Jillian, who is white, in handcuffs, and confiscated her weapon, and Tequila Hill, who is black, said her 15-year-old daughter, Michaela Green, was bumped into by Jillian before entering the fast food business. The daughter asked the woman for an apology and said the woman began yelling at her, and and so it goes. But, you've got to watch the entire video. And I think if this is the way things are going to go, we have no chance in this country. I don't know.
Yeah, you want to talk about the decks being stacked against you. I mean, somebody gets in your face, they start yelling at you, they prevent you from getting in your vehicle. You finally get in your vehicle, they block you from leaving the parking lot. You get out, you draw your weapon down on them because they basically, by the way, never had her finger on the trigger, nor ever fired a shot. She had very tight control of that weapon, I will give her that. She was not flailing it all over the place and, just twirling it around, being a moron. She had very tight control of that weapon. Now, if she would not have actually pointed it, and she may have just possibly brandished it as far as started to unholster it and kept it in the holster or kept her shirt, behind it so she could draw if she had to, it may have been a little bit different. It may have been the fact that she drew the weapon and pointed at the woman. But, man, Doug, I mean.
Listen to this. You got to hear this. Okay. Yesterday, State Senator Rosemary Beyer. Now, she's a state senator, called the incident unacceptable. And you want a puke fest here. There's nothing acceptable about what happened in Orion Township last night. It's abhorrent to think that some in this country have such a sense of self-righteousness and entitlement that the idea of pulling a gun out on an unarmed child and her mother is okay. What kind of putrid rot crap is that? Wow.
Well, first off, the child, the 15-year-old allegedly that we never even saw in the video, she's the one who recorded the entire incident. I never not one time saw the firearm pointed at her. I saw the firearm pointed at her mother, yep, who is being the one who is extremely militant and hostile the whole situation. What a mess. I mean, I hope they get this dropped, but I mean, dude, it's reaching the point where it's like, how far do you let it go? I mean, you can't leave because they're blocking you in. They're saying you're running them over. I don't even know how the driver, the husband, got arrested. He never even had a firearm on him that I saw.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I don't think it takes much in terms of arresting law-abiding citizens anymore. And for the sheriff to go along with this, to me, speaks volumes. And we need Second Amendment sheriffs. We need Second Amendment prosecutors as well. You know what? We're at the end of the program. Healthmasters.com, Freedom 5, coupon code, Freedom 5 and HR 5 at Healthmasters. Sounds great. And now's the time to order your products this July 4th, Independence Day weekend. Please do that right now as this program ends. Go right now to healthmasters.com. Use Freedom 5 or HR 5 as a coupon code interchangeably there. And even, this will even work on the product of the week, D3, K2, as well as Ultimate Multiple. I'm telling you folks, you need that. Vitamin B and vitamin C. And I'm going to thank you for number one, having a great line of products, and number two, having a great show with your dad. And thirdly, for coming on this program and classing it up a lot. So thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Doug. It's a pleasure to be on the show as always. Have a safe weekend, man. Continue to stay strong and fight the good fight, sir.
And you as well. And God bless you, your wife, your family. And one of these days I want to see pictures of your house.
we just moved in last weekend, finally.
Wow.
So exciting.
Long haul, man. Real quick, I got about 15 seconds. Would you do it again? Would you build your own house again? Would you do it again?
Ask me that in 5 years.
Okay.
Probably not right now. The answer would be no right now.
All right. Got to go. Thank you, brother. Thank you. And give your dad my best.
Have a good weekend.
All right. Folks, that'll do it for the Hagman Report. Watch HagmanReport.com for additional things I'll be putting up. That's going to be moving forward a lot.
Patreon.
Patreon meet. Thank you. This Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern, a Patreon meeting. Now, some people had sent us emails. We have your emails. We're doing our best to address the situations, whatever your situation might be. Eric the Tech and I. But Patreon meeting, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, this Sunday, July 5th. We're having it because people said, yeah, we're not doing anything, so let's have it. The majority of people that I spoke to. And that's Patreon meeting, Sunday, July 5th, 7 p.m. Eastern. Looking forward to it. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a good night.